the beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie J.
G'day, it is Bowie Jane and Jess Bowen on Babes Behind the Beats, and today we have singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, Trace. Welcome, Trace.
Thank you so much for being here and doing this. We're very stoked to have you. I have known of you through my friend Betsy Martinez, who actually is putting on an event, the Fangirl Cafe event at the Troubadour in February, on February 27th, which you will be playing. So I'm so excited to see you live. I'm so stoked.
Me too. I'm excited to be seen live. Just kidding.
But yeah, before we get into that, I think we want to like just find out a little bit about you and like how you even got into music and all this stuff. So I guess my first question is like, I think I looked up an article and your mom is actually like a pop star in Vietnam. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Is that like how you got into music?
I mean, I want to say no, because I am my own woman. And you know, when you grow up and you don't want to like be like your parents. And so I grew up just big fan of my mom. I love her. She's the coolest. But I was like, that's too, I can't do that. I'm not, there's no way. So I just wanted to be like, you know, a private detective. Or, you know, work at an ad agency. So I've been a writer my whole life. I would say that. And I never really considered music until my like late 20s. And I play the guitar poorly. So it was just kind of like a hobby. And I always wrote songs, but I never sang in front of anybody. I didn't do the whole theater stuff growing up. And my mom is pretty like non-traditional in her journey too, because she is an insane singer. She's a belter. She's like a Tina Turner kind of gal, and it's the opposite of me. If you've heard, you know, my music, I'm like a whisper in the night. And so yeah, we're very different, but I think jokes on me is because I guess it's in me, right? In the sense of like just being raised in such a weird, fun upbringing, and I'm learning more and more about myself, and I'm just like my mother, which I'm like, definitely in therapy for, but
that happens when you get older, like, oh, I'm not like my mom, and you're like, oh yes, I am.
Yeah, like totally. So I'm from Orange County. I moved to LA to be an editor at a magazine, and I loved it, but it wasn't like my passion. And a friend just had me like record a song on his album, and I was like, that sounds cool. And I did, and I was like, this is so fun, this is something I should do and just try it out. And I started music in 2015, 2016. And that was like the best year to start music, because I really did well, like the year of the SoundCloud and the Spotify and stuff. So yeah, I got started doing music because I was trying to find, I guess, like my, not my identity, but when I heard my voice for the first time through his EP, I didn't know what mixing was. I didn't know what a mic, you know, I really never sang into a mic. So when I heard my song that I did with him, it was fine, but I didn't feel like me. So I was kind of like, how do I sound like me? I guess I should just do my own project. And so I just wrote some songs, and then I found some people to help me produce it. And then here we are.
Yeah. How is that you find people? Because I think like for people starting out, they're like, well, but how do you find a producer? Or, you know, how do you get your song? Obviously you can put your songs up, but what was that process for you?
Yeah, I think that I'm really grateful for the understanding that like relationship is really actually everything. And I wouldn't be anywhere without everyone. And I think for me, my scenario is very specific, because I went to a very small school in San Diego, and that was just, it was just a good community of people, and they are all talented musicians. And one of my friends, Brandon, was like in town. And I was like, yo, do you want to work on this EP with me? And he's like, yeah, I'm actually going to be in LA for like a year. And then he worked on my EP for like the year and then moved back to San Diego. And I think you have to just be very vocal with what you need with people. I think as long as you're, I don't know, I think it's an age thing too. Cause I used to be so like stressed about sounding needy or like weird or gross. And I think, no, like when people see who you are, if they get that chance to kind of see what you're about, what your music's about, it feels nice to have people kind of come along with you and be like, I actually really believe in this. And you're like, what? And you kind of just have to take it and run, you know?
And, And you said like you wanted you heard your voice on, you know, your friend's songs and it didn't feel like you. So like how did you find you? Like who were you, did you have influences that you were like trying to take from, or did you like just sit in a room and you were like, what do I sound like? You know, like how does that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I've always looked up to, and I think I'm coming back to it now in my career after kind of doing the dance world, which we'll probably talk about for like 5 seconds because I can't talk too much about it. But I think in the intro of like my career, I've always just been such a folk gal, and I'm like a feist, like Bon Iver's first album, kind of, you know, the national, you know, kind of sad, you know, very like real instrumentsy. So like when I started writing this EP, I was into that, but also I was like, can you make it sound like Sylvanesso? Like I literally said, make it like Sylvanesso. And I think that's when the electronic like like influences came, which it worked.
Yeah.
But I think what I mean by like it didn't sound like me, I just felt like my vocals felt, I don't know, like too happy or bright. And I feel I'm learning too that I'm definitely more moodier in my head than I am in real life. I'm like an actual warm person, which I'm like pissed about because I'm trying to be like mysterious and like cold. But I just think vocally, it didn't feel like me. And I think that just took me to like use my voice because I didn't know what I sounded like. I still look back at my first EP and I'm like, she's cute, but man, I'm so much cuter now, you know, but it's like growing and learning my voice too.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. like the music.
It's incredible you even identified that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible you even identified that because I think most people are trying to be whatever's current on the market with vocals. And like we saw that whole baby voice thing that everyone was doing for a bit. And then like everyone's not pronouncing lyrics for a bit. And then, you know, like no one's sort of got their own thing. Someone had it once, but then everyone copied.
Yeah.
So it's good on you for getting your own sound.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I really appreciate that. I think that I have definitely have felt prey to it. I think that I just can't do anything else. I can't try. Like I listen to the voices that people like or that producers like to work with or that are doing well on the charts. And I'm like, okay, what does that look like? How do I survive in this like industry when it feels so maybe unpopular or not in or whatever? So I appreciate you saying that because I hope I can remain that way because I'm still trying to like stand firm in the fact that like I am a soft singer and I don't know. I just can't do what, you know, fill in the blank does, and that's okay. And so I've worked towards it. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, it's really good. How did you, so your track Low has had like 30 million views. How does it, you don't just pop it up and it gets 30 million views. So how did that happen? Because it obviously even a great song, that doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, great question. I think it was a combination of SoundCloud and definitely Spotify. I started off indie and they were just such homies and they put me on every playlist. And Odessa was a fan who's like that duo. They like do a lot of great dance music. And it was just very, the sound I think worked for people. It wasn't on any commercial or anything. I think it was the playlisting and it was the timing of SoundCloud and Spotify. I truly don't know how. And I think that's the scariest part about the music industry. I'm sure you both can understand. It's like so hilarious to ever think you know what's going to work or not.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like ever.
Because
you know?
Right now the way it's all working is like the TikTok thing. And so, but like you said, in like 2015, 16, it was like SoundCloud was popping off. And then like the whole playlisting thing for Spotify. Now that's like the biggest thing you could get is being playlisted.
Right.
Did you like know specifically like you were friends with people over at Spotify, or like did your team know the people at Spotify? How did it happen?
Yeah, no, they reached out to me and they were just like, hey, who are you? Why are you on all these playlists? Because they were doing their beta, like their beta page of like seeing everyone putting songs on playlists. And they contacted my then manager and they were just like, hey, we'd love to just talk to Trace. We'd have no idea, we know why she's on all these playlists. And I'm like, oh my gosh, me. And so it's a bougie story. Cause I hearken back to my past whenever I feel kind of sad about my career now, because I'm like, I'm okay with not being 20 years old. Thank God we're here. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's quite gnarly to be in it now. But looking back, when Spotify kind of called me over, we like had a meeting at like Soho. I felt like a star, you guys. I was just like, oh my gosh, the Soho House. Like, and they just showed me like the whole back end of everyone adding my song, Honey and Heavy Shoulders to like to their playlist. And they're like, we want to figure out, you know, how we can help artists like you continue. Wow. And do you have anything on the market or on the docket? And I was like, oh yeah, I have an EP coming out. You know, my manager and I were like, let's just get this EP done. And so yeah, they really introduced me to, it was a new, like Spotify for Artists wasn't a thing yet. And so I got to really see the back end of things. And I think that was just the beginning of like Spotify, really.
Wow. Great timing as well then.
Really but, is, yeah.
But did that help you getting all the listens? Does that help you get labels interested in you, or do you not want labels interested in you? What's your approach with the whole label thing?
Back then, that's how I got interest from Sony, like Ultra. So Ultra reached out to me because they had a sub-label called Next Wave, and Next Wave actually signed Low. So Low was my first single that was signed. I'd never heard of that before in my life.
Right, until like signing mentioned singles to release, right?
Yeah, and I was like, what? So they signed Low. So I think
– in the dance world, that's all they do.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's completely the opposite.
It is super bizarre. And I was like, let's try it out. So I think that obviously helped the plays too. They put a lot of work into it. So yeah, Ultra kind of pursued me for a year almost. And I was kind of like, I'm not a dance artist. Like, get out of here. I'm nothing against dance. I would like, take me to a festival. I would love to sing on stage. And I like to work with like, you know, amazing DJ artists. Like, I think they're incredible. That's not my heart. And so it took me a while to say yes, but you know, a gal likes to be pursued. And after truly like 10 months, I was like on tour. I hopped on this tour opening up for Now a Friend, and they just sent like my manager a contract. And it was kind of fun, like reading a contract in Nebraska. And I had a good team. I had a good lawyer. So I didn't feel very scared. I didn't know if I wanted to sign with a label in the beginning of my career. I've been doing this for about 6 years. And in the beginning of my career, I just wanted a Grammy because I wanted my mom to see that. You know, my mom, even though she's in the industry, it's very different. She doesn't know what a manager is. She does everything herself. It's so poorly done. She also has music on Spotify, but she doesn't run the page. She doesn't know, like, she doesn't own the songs. It's pretty gnarly. I get kind of a headache thinking about how I'm going to fix her, like, her like songs and her pages, and I need to kind of figure who has the rights to things, but I digress. So she is, so yeah, I think for me, I just wanted to like be signed so I can be on the radio and like get a Grammy and like do the things you're supposed to do to have like those specific accolades that like my mom and my family could understand and see like, oh, she's doing something. As I have gotten more into the industry, and I did sign with them. I just finished my record deal. I ended it 2019. I learned a lot. My career didn't grow. It was really humbling. I love a team. Love a team. I love not worrying about a new profile picture uploaded, you know? But for 2 years, it was really, really interesting. I'm grateful for everyone at Ultra. I've worked with some cool people, some great people. And I was in the studio a lot with just, I would say, random producers every day. And it was kind of like, oh, I'm really getting my hours in. I did over like 100 songs and they're all shit, you know, but learned a lot, did a lot. Man, my career didn't grow. I was popping off with Spotify as an indie artist. And I will say what it felt like, Spotify was very like, oh, you're signed now? Cool. And it was just like, it felt very, I felt disconnected.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah.
So was the label lining up the co-writes and all that kind of stuff, and then maybe doing a strategy for your release and pushing singles out all the time, or what was their strategy with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. the deal that I had was really a good deal, and I wasn't locked in for too long, but it was more just like, let's release a bunch of singles. And I don't know. Can labels make an artist? You know, I think for me, it's, you get frustrated in general because I really do love what I've done and I really believe in myself, but it's wild to have some machine around you and it feels so disconnected. I think I keep going back to respectfully saying they didn't know what to do with me. I was their first songwriter that they signed. So I kind of love that they were trying something new. and we believed in each other, and we kind of like, you know, let's see what we can do for each other. They just didn't know. You know, I wanted to play a Tiny Desk concert, and I don't think they really had artists that did that yet. And I'm just like this random folky girl who like wants to dance sometimes, you know? So their marketing plan, I'm not really sure. I think I was in co-writes with people who weren't that big either. So, you know, did I want them to put me in a room with Kygo to see what I can do? Maybe, but they didn't, you know? And so that's probably a good thing. And for me, and so, and for Kygo. And so, so yeah, I don't know their strategy. I have no idea.
Do you think sorry to interrupt. Just wondering from like the songwriting perspective, like, do you think that it is helpful though, having the team behind you because they're getting you in all these rooms? Or do you think you would have probably pursued getting in those rooms even without like the label help? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I think the majority is that I could probably just get into the rooms.
Right.
But I think that there are like, you know, no, actually like my favorite people and my like most experienced people I worked with have been through like homies.
Yeah.
And social media helps. Instagram helps. Like we're just chatting with everyone like we know them now. And so it's been really, it doesn't feel that beneficial. And to be honest, it really hinders. I think the big people you work with see that they see you're with the label and they're like, okay, well that's, you know, 10 grand to like, and you're just like, wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. 10 grand.
That's so interesting. I'm so glad that we got this insight from you, because I just feel like it is such a different world we live in now, where I think maybe most people that are just starting their careers might think like, I got to get a label. This is like that's like the end all be all, right? Like you got to sign. Yeah. But like, that's just not the way it is these days anymore. And it's actually more beneficial, in my opinion, it actually ends up being a little bit more beneficial to stay independent for as long as you can and not be like, contractually like obliged to someone, or like it's nice to have, I guess, like a, essentially they're like what, like your bank account, right? Like they're able to like fund things,
which is awesome.
That's great. That's amazing if you don't have the ability to do that yourself, which of course like not a lot of people have that luxury to do right off the bat.
But
I mean, like what you said, it's just it's so great to get your perspective on that. So
it's pros and cons though, of course, right, with everything, because it was nice to have a studio with Ultra. Like I always had access to a studio, which is awesome. Right. Miss that. I'm like, now it's like, do you want to work in my closet? Like it's not as cute, but like there, but for me too, I think for anyone who's listening who wants to be signed or who doesn't know, I'm indie now. My next project is indie, but I am down to be signed again. And I'm talking to like some boutique ones, and I'm like, yeah, like who knows? I don't know. I hope maybe the industry is becoming more personable and more human, maybe. Or maybe I'm just delusional and too positive. Hard to say.
Remember, you're meant to be mysterious.
Oh my gosh, yes. So whatever, you know, we'll see.
And moody.
I gotta go. I have a thing to do later.
Gotta wash my hair.
Yeah.
So Trace, we're so excited because, as we mentioned earlier, you're going to be playing at the Fangirl Cafe event on February 27th at the Troubadour.
It's true. I'm like so excited. It's like my dream spot.
I was going to say, have you played the Troubadour before? Is this going to be the first
time? Never have I ever.
Oh my God.
I said I wanted to play the Troubadour to like the sky, and I've been saying that for a long time, and I'm so excited.
Like we said, manifestation.
Manifestation.
That's what you manifested it.
Yeah.
Cool gig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like a really good lineup. Do you know any of the other artists that are playing?
I don't. I was doing some research and everyone just sounds really rad. But
yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun time. And obviously we're going to put a link down in our bio so everyone can grab tickets to that event.
Yes.
But on top of that, are you going to be playing? So your new song, Could I Break Your Heart, just came out. I love that song, by the way.
Thank you. It's amazing.
Can you tell us a little bit about like the song, like when, like just the backstory of how it came about, and like was this done recently over quarantine? Like what happened?
Yeah, I think during quarantine, I was kind of taking a break from music because I was recovering from finishing a record deal. So I just was like, I'm not going to write music. I was just so dramatic. You know, I was just like, I'm going to go and just take a year and like write a novel. But I end up just writing music because, you know, why are we fighting who we are, you know? And I wrote Could I Break Your Heart. That was the first song I wrote. And it was just, I think there's a line in the song called that the line in the song is overthinking on the freeway. And I'm always thinking in my car, especially being in LA, you're kind of driving all the time. So I often think too much while I'm driving. And I was driving past some houses that like, oh, I used to date that person. And like, oh, I used to like that person. Oh, and it kind of just, that made me sound like I'm dating the whole city. But I'm not.
Trace is I'm a like, hoe.
Trace just gets in her car and drives around the city to all her ex's places. Like she's like creepily
just dropping pins.
Stalker.
No, literally I have no lovers. It's fine. And so.
You're like, this interview went horribly wrong.
Yeah. Trace's, that was a funny call out. So anyways, yeah, I wrote, can I break your heart? Because I was thinking about how oftentimes, I don't know, it turned into this very like sad, nostalgic feeling of, you know, when just someone calls you up and you feel like a last resort. And I think that is what made me write this song, because I think you see places in the city and you drive by houses and you're like, this person lives there. And that sucks because I want to go to your door. But then it's like, should I kind of thing? And I think metaphorically and physically. And I think the song is about truly, I want my turn to hurt somebody. I also just blame my sweet, sweet, sensitive heart. And I think a lot of the times we give a lot of authority to people that shouldn't have it. And so I think for me, I just kind of want it to be my turn / anyone else's turn who kind of feels, you know, swindled when it comes to feelings and like letting someone in and using someone and like just being basically just not feeling good enough for someone to show you off and stuff. And it's always like in the dark.
The lyric was something, it was like, you kiss me and only kiss me in the dark, right?
Yeah, you always try to kiss me in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That when I heard that, I was like, that just hit me so hard. Like, yeah. All the feels from that.
Yeah.
Clearly, I have to go to therapy for something. But
no, same.
So, will you be playing that one at the Troubadour?
Yes, I will. Oh, yes. My gosh. Yeah, I definitely will. I've played it once before live at Hotel Cafe, and we tried that out, and it's just really... It was stripped, so it kind of felt even more depressing. So that was fun. And so, yeah.
Do you play with? Are you playing full band? Is it? Do you have like a whole band that you play with? Or
I would love a full band. Since you know a lot of money is coming in. You know what I mean? As we speak, it is raining in, and so I definitely want a full band. You guys probably get that too. Just like it costs a lot. To bring the whole gang, but I prefer it. It's either me and like someone, we're just doing a strip set, or it's like full blown. So I haven't decided yet.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So to be determined.
Basically. Yeah, I'll be there for sure.
You'll be there for sure.
It might be a cappella. Yeah.
She couldn't afford a guitar either. So.
Yeah.
I mean, nice strings.
You're a drummer, right? So can you just drum for me? I just might call you up. Okay.
You know what? Honestly, I will. I will do. If you want me to on the spot, I would.
I might
like,
need you.
Okay, cool. You just let me know. Like you said, it's to be determined. But if you want me to come up there, like I'll start just like for sure learning all those parts.
Okay. Perfect. I'm not joking, but okay.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say I am playing drums for Noah Vaughn. For that show. So like I said, I'm already going to be there playing. I'm hosting and playing drums. So you know what? I could just play for everyone if they want.
You're just going to work all night.
It's going to be working the whole event. Yeah. I'll actually be at the front door getting everyone's tickets first. And then
I'll be at Bondi Beach.
Oh my God.
Yeah, lucky Bowie.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, okay, we get it. So I was wondering, does your mom live in California as well? Does she like come to your shows and stuff? Like, what is she like? How does she feel about your career, like your music?
Yeah, she lives in Orange County still. Okay. And she came to I had an EP release party in August 2019. And she's a hoot. It's quite, as you probably can imagine, maybe like wild to have like your icon mother watch you. And it's been the sweetest thing to see how she has received it. I think that when I started doing performances in the beginning of my career, she was very like, wear some more makeup. You're not moving your body enough. Like, show me your body. And I'm like, Mom, I'm serious. Because she's like not your regular Asian mom. She's like
glitter, a pop star.
Yeah. She's like glitter bra. She's sexy. I'm like, cool. Like, she's a hot person. I'm like,
she's not a normal mom. She's a cool mom.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
Oh my God, she's hilarious.
No, literally, that's her. So that was the beginning of my career. But I think after a while, it's been really, really beautiful for her to kind of, she came up to me after my show. She loves the full band PS. She's like, you should do full band. I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm like, thank you so much. And she came back backstage. She's so not intrusive. She is so like, maybe she gets it. I guess, yeah, that's probably what it is. Cause she's like, I don't want to bother you. I'll call you tomorrow. But she like calls me the next day and just was like, I really get what you're trying to do now. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm just like crying on the 405, my next single. And, you know, basically she just shared like, she thinks it's amazing that I write my music because she doesn't write at all. And so she's very like astounded by it. And she's just like, I understand what you're doing, why you do what you do. And she said, I know it's really hard. And I know you want to quit sometimes. And I just want, and then she was just like, but you're going to last a long time. She's like, you're not just jumping up there, shaking. She was like saying all these things, like nothing against anybody, but she's just like, you're different and that's good. And it's going to be a lot of hard work, but like, just keep doing it. And so I will say my mom is pretty proud of me. I think I still want her to be more proud of me. You know, I still want to buy her a beach house. So it's like, I won't feel successful until I do that, but I'm reconciling that everything is where it is and I'm really grateful for it, but she's proud of me and it's cool.
That's so cool.
So cute. I love that. Aww. Yeah, is she going to be at the Troubadour? Do I get to meet Mama Trip?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Aww,
she will probably, yes. Yeah. Bondi Beach, that. You know
what
I
mean? I want to meet Mommy Trace.
No, literally, you guys, like, she bought my friends drinks at my last show. Oh. And everyone was like, you were great, Trace, but we were actually watching your mom watch you. And I'm like, well, let's not have that happen again because it's my show. But, like, you know. So, she'll probably come through and you'll meet her.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, I cannot wait to meet her. I can't wait to see you play live. Again, you need me to drum. You know, just let me know. Just give me at least maybe a week in advance notice.
Okay,
that would be nice. But, Trace, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And for everyone who maybe isn't already following you, do you want to give us like your social media or whatever platforms you're the most active on so they can keep up with you?
Yeah, please find me on Instagram. I'm just Trace, T-R-A-C-E. Don't find me on TikTok because it's a pretty pathetic page. But everything else is Listen to Trace.
Listen to Trace.
Yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. And again, have everyone, we'll put the ticket link to the Fangirl Cafe event in our bio. So take a look at that. And thank you, Trace, for being here. And can't wait to see you at the Troubadour.
Thank you so much. See you guys soon.
Thanks so much, Trace. Really enjoyed it.
Bye. Miss you already.